for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. Let us chit-chat about the lovely, emotionally mature, self-regulating person, those of us who have accountability, the capacity to be in the forefront with your embodied brain. You have it, I do. The inner child of mine got to stay securely attached, and that's because I was blessed with a child-centric environment and a twin. And so with a twin, I got to already share, identical twin, might I add, not only the space in the belly, and I know some people laugh, but guess what? We get to put into practice our lovely, well, I don't know about that part, but what I do know is that I'm attachment trauma informed, and I have heard from a different number of those lovely experts that even those last 3 months in the fetus actually make a difference for our not necessarily attachment category, but definitely when we have like transgenerational trauma, and I forget the exact wording of how they posed it, the trauma experts, but the findings are that the last 3 months in the fetus does make a difference. I am a preemie though, so that is also considered a traumatic birthing process and stuff like that. And I did have the umbilical cord around me, but I still got lucky as I was trying to get to, because I did not lose that innocence. What I was trying to achieve was the capacity to say we are determined in different ways. Each one of us can know our own story. I know about my story because I'm attachment trauma informed. As a mystic, I also can share with the 5D mystics the beauty of Christ consciousness. Remember that our lovely Christ Jesus gave us the reference point for what people are capable of, what they can become as their own full restorative embodiment expression in this lifetime. So you don't have to wait till the next lifetime, which is one of those things that 4D mystics tend to do. And those are the spiritual bypassers, is what I will use as a word, because spirituality is when you are able to hold and have meaning that goes beyond the solo self. So true spirituality is when you do love being human, and therefore not that you hate, dislike, or distrust and mistrust humans, because that's called a trust break with humanity. It's fair and square. People have their experiences. They have attachment wounds. They might have abuse and neglect from childhood, and they will also continue to believe the stories of demons and devils. I know all about it. Again, I'm a mystic, but also I know about neurosciences, and lovely Patrick McNamara, he explains what happens to the brain of people when there's nightmares on the fear receptor. So I bring human spiritual and spirituality elements together. That's why I am the lovely woo-woo pseudoscience podcast host. Woo-woo because science says people don't believe in mystics, because they can explain with neuroscience, physics, metaphysics, so they can explain with their research material what our clairs are and what our brain does. Okay, so when we're in a state of flow, and I, like any other human being who's a whole inner child, and therefore your grown-up version, you're not trying to prove your point, because that's the land of teenagers. The teenagers is what I call adaptive children, and they're maladaptive. So that is where they don't know about their karma, being unconscious one, and so they don't know about their right mode. So they don't understand what it means that their window of tolerance can be expanded. And I say understand because they don't get attachment trauma informed necessarily. Okay, so there's a lot of aspects that come into the mix when you do become educated with information like I did in these 2+ years, attachment trauma. So in addition to spirituality, bringing in humanity. So again, emotional maturity and emotional self-regulation and emotional accountability are empowerment, because your humanity is you, the integrated brain of you. That's you who can be compassionate. And there are those who use the word kind, but it's only if they're emotionally mature as well. That means that they don't have low self-esteem, indirect communicating, passive-aggressive, the not knowing about how it works to have healthy boundaries. So people who are like the teenagers on Elsa's journey, where we find them all over the place. Yeah, misanthropists. I hate humans. You know, the human body weighs a lot. You know, enlightenment, you can't reach enlightenment because you're going to have laundry. So people who don't have a relationship with their emotional plane, which is that embodied brain, comes up. Sensations, images, affects, meanings, behavior. Again, thank you, Peter Levine. So when people don't learn about attachment and trauma, or they don't believe when you're sharing to them information like this, as I was saying, yes, envy, jealousy, spite, low self-esteem emotions. So they won't look at me or any one of us that is informed about attachment trauma as kind. They won't feel us that way because our nervous system is embodying the mammalian heritage. We don't have any triggers because we don't have any insecurities. So what this means is my 0-1-year-old isn't attached panicky in a sense, I need to attach to you and get your thumbs up. And if on the other hand, your 0-1-year-old with a 3-year-old is defective and broken, and you got a teenager ruling the room, you're gonna wanna prove your right to me. And whenever I meet those teenagers, I know exactly what to do. It's called the right silence. And I've learned how to do that in the best way possible. And then as you get older, you get to meet emotionally mature people. And that's where we're going to begin. They're amazing between men and women. Why? Because we get end days. We get to talk about intellectually, politically, religiously, all those beautiful and important conversations, and not in the way of what we see out there with the people who dismantle each other as they compete with each other. And it's a very different energy. The facade is only a facade that the people who do not have restorative embodiment fall for. So when you meet people who have a poor embodied self, it's a bunch of people that are on a journey, Pinocchio, ears and tail, lost boys who have Peter Pan's Wendy's, Elsa, who doesn't know that she's not a superhero superpower, and that at the end it's to meet her three-year-old. So essentially every person that I see out there acting like what I saw as teenagers, because I was one too, so I had low self-esteem and I chose not to. I chose after being for a short amount of time a stupid teenager, and I said, you know, I think your value body, heart body, and just your brain, Maria, and the way you can think things through is way better and more farsighted than what these human beings over here. Also, you're a lot more reliable. You can count on yourself. You can count on your mind to think things and your heart to feel things. And apparently, you can also regulate your nervous system, meaning my heart, when people do the so-called unkindness of betrayal, lying. So there's no, I need to heal betrayal trauma for the emotionally accountable, self-regulating, mature person. That's because I didn't lose my innocence because I got to share womb with another human being. My nervous system knows human being as my other. So self and other wasn't scanning in a way of danger, which is why I grew up to keep on keeping it. It's self and other is different, and it's not defective. It's just different because I got held like that. Okay, so I got explained, you and your twin are not the same. And actually, I even corrected my biological father, who called me my twin's name by the third time I corrected him. See, that's another thing an emotionally mature person knows how to do. So emotional immaturity doesn't mean you don't have emotions. It means that people think you are not with emotions, or that you're lying and hiding emotions. What I'm going to say is, no, I know how to be the quote-unquote angry Buddhist even before being angry anyone, and I'm a Catholic Christian, although as those who like to keep with books, they're like, no, here's the book. So I'm more like a pirate, like Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, rules are guidelines. They're not really set in stone. That's how a flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, stable brain works. This is a mature brain right here. Integration, it's called. So I don't have impaired. Bilateral. Mine works well. I have a three-year-old. She's right here with my one-year-old. You can hear her. So yeah, I'm not going to hide my stupid opinions or smart or evil. Which one? Or witch or bitch? How many different words could we make up in our brain? Because by the way, people don't tell you your face. No. I take that back. The actual people who have balls, they tell you their face. That's the nice part. So as you grow up, you meet people who have balls and vaginas and they get to chit-chat. And those are the ones that are coming to HP. We have fun. We're not going to be like, oh my God, that person, they were politically incorrect. Look at them. We're more like, gosh, can we figure out which one of the words we're supposed to use together? I know that you're trying to say something, but I think out in the public, we might be misunderstood. Wait, hey, over you. Yeah, come here. So wait, before you go, how about we give each other like the, nudge or something, or you correct. You come in and help me out when I get lost. So we figure out how we can go. And I'm thinking about the Goonies right now, even though none of us are the Goonies, but you know, they're like, or Ice Age, right? We got Sid, Diego, Manny, as their herd expands, then we get the Manny's whatever partner that he finds. Finally, he's not alone. He feels all alone. Oh, poor Manny. So that makes me think of the people who become like one and the other. They're the exact replica, you know, because they were all alone before. Now they found one human being who they can. And here's where that 0-1-year-old, the attached, that's what they want, right? So that's why monogamy is the more popular version of monoamory, right? So I'm polyamorous, but I already loved all people equally, which is what I told my teenage boyfriend. It's also why I didn't get in a big pissy pants when he cheated on me, because it was more of, wow, you didn't have the courage to tell me? No, he did the first time. Second time, it happened by accident. He was drunk. I was like, okay, fine, you know. And then I went and asked all my friends, the ones who saw him, how come none of you told me? And the only friend who told me, somebody said, you know, he told you because he's interested in you, right? So he wanted you to get in a fight. I'm like, no, he didn't. He's my friend. And they're like, no, no. And I'm like, you don't know that. No, he told me. And I was like, wow, really? Okay, whatever. You know what? I don't care. He still told me. Why didn't you tell me? Because I thought you wouldn't believe me and that you would have thought I was envious, jealous, and wanted to get you into a fight. Wow, really? That sounds pretty interesting. And you learn that teenagers are all cowards. And then you learn that grown-ups are too. Then you learn about attachment trauma. And then you're like, that makes so much sense. They're 3-year-old, defective, brokenhearted. The 0-1-year-old wants to get approved. And they really did all answer the same way. I was afraid that you wouldn't believe me because that's all the answer is. Fear, 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 fear. So by the time I get to my BFF, that one, I got to learn how not to in any way, shape, or form talk about people in a way that would be throwing anyone under the bus. It's a good lesson, and at the same time, one of those that, you know, you're like, really? I went to my friend because she is the one who kissed my boyfriend, but she threw some other girl under the bus because we found out together that he was cheating on me. And I said, who do you think it is? Because it's supposed to be somebody close to me. I only have you and that other girl. It's the other girl. It's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. It probably is. And so I learned how not to do that. And I told her, you know, you could have told me 2 minutes after we left, because I said, maybe, I get it, you didn't want the other guy to know it was you because there was another person with us. So maybe you're trying to keep it private, but you could have 2 minutes after, whenever it is, we walked away, say, hey, I have something to tell you, which is I'm the one because you know me. I said, you know that I'm forgiving. I follow Jesus. So I don't understand. Why didn't you tell me again? I thought you would get mad and not want to be friends with me anymore. And I said, okay, that doesn't make sense. You obviously don't know me then. Because again, I talk about forgiveness. It's not a made up word. I literally got confirmed by choice. And Jesus was very clear about what this forgiveness is. I'm not confused. In fact, this is what a whole inner child heart knows. And no confusing or misinterpretation of what Jesus speaks. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Forgive them, for they do not know. Turn the other cheek, which does not mean put yourself down and over and bend and be in a shame cycle. No, that's for the people who don't become their emotional grown-ups because they don't notice that they have an inner child. If people go to reparent their inner child with Patrick Tiahan, they're going to know exactly how it feels to be self-empowered. And some of you might already be there, or you might want to do personal development with us and to come on over. Okay, so it's very easy for a person who has compersion because there's no envy, jealousy, or spite. Because if you are a confident human being, it means you have a heart that is whole and says, I'm not defective, but again, I have a twin. I got somebody next to me in the same age group. But she did this, but you did that. And I got to get repeated how it doesn't matter. Every person's different. That doesn't mean you're going to be treated the same because you have weaknesses and strengths. She has weaknesses and strengths. So again, the book determined, although it is mostly qualitative, even though I think he wants to try and make it look like it's quantitative, but we all know, the ones of us who know how to discern information, we know that most information is qualitative. So we get to have interacting with people, by the way. I love my business, where politics, religion, you name it. Our interest is the whole humanity in one way, shape, or form. Although some of us have more, you know, what is it called? Focus areas. Mine is the globe and all of humanity. Inspiring human potential. Others, you know, they think of their neighborhood or of their country or of that specific topic. Some people only care about the ocean. Others only care about the air. I personally care about all of it because, you know, I'm a long-term person viewer. So I know that I don't want any of those children. I didn't want any, but I don't want any of the ones who are born who are still, you know, procreating and they still think the earth's fine. You know, I'm pretty sure we need to get on top of everything now, not tomorrow. So I'm going to be proactive with the people who are smart like me and they see things long term. They're smart because they use their prefrontal cortex. So they don't use their child parts to stay in a, I'm going to be upset at human beings and say that they need to all, you know, be killed or whatever. Those are misanthropists and they make shitty movies, by the way, about human beings. And then you get to hear from them. And I'm like, nah, I don't think that's entertaining. That's a form of allowing themselves to find their herd. And they're all coming together with that energy. And those, you know what? I'm a human. I know exactly how I'm going to organize human beings. One of my favorite friends, they like to tease me the most in a very good way. Because every time they tease me in these ways that I'm thinking about right now, I get to expand a little bit. And that's because They like to say, okay, you want to talk about loving all these people. Let's see how many different ways I can present to you that that's not true, Maria. And I'm like, no, but it is true. But they're trying to make a different point. And see, remember, I'm a divine feminine with my own divine masculine. So, of course, the only person who can tickle a divine feminine's brain is a divine masculine. Because their heart is their own divine feminine. So they figure out the way that they can have fun. Because, you know, again, when we enjoy each other, because nobody needs to prove anything. This is the point of what pure bliss, fun, or building a snowman. And we care about all humanity, again, in different ways. Okay, so the part about there being heart is very important because it's the inner child. And so we're getting to know each other and we're getting to become people who dance a dance. So I like dancing dances like that. When people bring up a challenge, and it's a good challenge, you know, so it's a good challenge because it's intellectual and it's also emotional. And this is what is nice. Okay, so well, I've shared a couple of times this thing. I'm going to switch it up a little bit though, because I'd rather do that. But I just love the way this human being comes at me. I don't even know if he realizes just how creative he allows my brain to get, you know, and how much I appreciate it. Because again, my heart still loves, but he makes valid points. And so I now know exactly what I do. Every time that I think of all the people that see, I don't want to use the word, but I think of him and then I think, okay, there's the corner. I surround them. Some are all surrounded by the good therapist. No, they're all surrounded by the good therapist. But when I was talking about the people that create the shitty movies that kill humanity off, yeah, you know what? I'm a human. That means you're an actual physical threat to me, Maria, right here. 5D mystic here. And I am a, no, I'm not going to say, but then again, I know that my friend could read my mind right now. Oh, I'm just going to think it because that way I don't speak it. See, I plead the fifth, as they would say in the US of A, and I know all about the Fifth Amendment. Okay, but in the meantime, I'm going to surround people with all those great therapists because all of the people who are unkind, they had some form of attachment rupture and or childhood trauma, and I feel very sad for them. So while the 4D and 3D continue to talk about demons and demonic spirits, and since I am a 5D mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age group, so I can tap into, no, I tap into always, I'm always in a relationship with this lovely sphere that is the relational field, its consciousness. You are part of it, I'm a part of it, and I learned of it as God when I was a kid, and I learned of it as God, and thankfully I had a good household. So again, essence of love and life. And when I got to hear about God doing the whole, I'm going to tell my son to go kill some kid of his. I said, hey, I don't even know why you did that, God. That's confusing. You know, I'm not going to listen to anything. You can come tell me whatever you want. You know what? I don't even care what the books say. I'm not lifting one finger unless I'm in any physical threat. This is what I'm going to do. That's what I decided as a child, and that was it. And that's exactly it. So also then Jesus comes along and you hear about, you know, forgiving and being kind. And so when you meet those unkind teenagers, you're like, okay, well, I want to use the word love. God represents love. Well, it's pretty straightforward. Either you stay open-hearted or you don't. I'm open-hearted. Here's my challenge. Because at the end of the day, like Pachatos Cusco, you all have hearts. And so 44 years of age, attachment trauma researchers, academia, the good ones, not the closed-minded ones, but the closed-minded ones, they serve a purpose too. That's why we're big cloth. And that's where any actual 5D mystic and any mystic that is an actual. Now, what I mean by this when I say this, I should expand. A person who is within the sphere of mysticism. Sadhguru says you will experience and perceive it, but you cannot understand it. I, Maria, can explain it to people who want to understand it. And I know that the neurosciences community, physics, they already have probably a buttload of explanations that I just don't know about. One day, maybe I'll be able to get cultured enough on it and explain our clairs with that. That doesn't mean they have all the answers. No, because consciousness is a sphere of intelligence. I'm a Reiki practitioner, the universal love energy. When I tap into it and support somebody, it's amazing. Like when I get nudged. So Sadhguru talks about nudging. The difference is I bring the human, spiritual, and spirituality elements. And I bring to you spirituality and humanity. Your restorative embodiment. I give you enlightenment the human way, aka restorative embodiment, integration of the brain. You without any trauma charges, okay? So my mission has always been clear to me. I help you to be yourself. Now I just know how to do it a lot better. Okay, and it's not a special gift, aka decent human being who knows what the right thing to do is always going to be if there's no physical threat in my face with a weapon or some shit that I can't get out of. I will lift you up from the floor, and no matter what you will do, I will lift you up and I will not attack you. I will not cast a stone. It's not hard to do because we don't live a movie. The people who are grounded in their human being body. Elsa people, they're not grounded in a human being body. In fact, they talk about people like they're in a fucking movie. It's very interesting. No, it's very boring. And furthermore, it's in their sympathetic little energy, and they don't even realize that as they're talking to you, and this is for people that I know that I tell them, one of my friends, I was like, okay, you realize that what you're doing right now is called rumination, right? All of this little personality that you got going on with your brain. And my friend thinks about the things that I share with him frequently. He mentioned the other day if I would take him on to do personal development. And I looked at him and I said, only if you're serious. And he likes to talk about himself as Darth Vader. So I know he's not going to do any of what he says, but you never know, right? So what I was trying to get at, though, is he hears when I talk to him. So in this other conversation, I explained to him, since he knows about good therapists, since he has one, and his therapist explained to him what rigidity of the mind is and how it is not the inner well-being of a person. And he consistently does things that are quite not great for him. Every morning, he has one routine. He thinks of how many people can basically fuck him in the ass, meaning, you know, take one over him, betray him, and then how to make money. This is a very bad habit. This is how you use your neuroplastic agent imagination in a bad way. And you also don't allow your nervous system to actually enter into your own higher social engagement system, and you are not resting and rejuvenating. You're in a nervous system that is a biochemistry fear. It's not going to help you. You're not integrating your brain, and you're not doing anything with the brain of yours that is great. And I know that my friend could do way better if he only put in a little bit of effort. But that motivation to get out of the dysfunctional, dysregulated nervous system is none, because he's like a Pinocchio with ears and a tail. Meaning, let's go drink and get distracted and keep on being like teenagers. The only place that I saw with low self-esteem, we're learning how to navigate, you know, world, and we think that we're teenagers because they even created this stupid word. At this point, I'm thinking all people should be called children until at least the age of 25, 27, because that's when your brain completely has those executive decision-making functions developed for the physical. And I'm not even joking, because the reality is, if I look back, I know that my perspective and my capacity to perceive and just everything is not one that is matured in the same way as once I was past that age. In fact, my clairs did come active after the age. It was around 27-ish, 30-ish. And mine began with dreams, and I could tell that they were different dreams, different planes. And then it got to expand. So it's not scary. It's not destabilizing, by the way. But let me get back to our topic. And as I was saying, people who need a good therapist, they don't have their inner child as someone that they are tending to. So their emotional plane is not in their peripheral view, which means they have non-bilateral integration. They can gain that integration if they want. But the motivation to get a regulated nervous system is one that would involve you noticing that envy, jealousy, spite, resentment, anything that is revenge, any shame, any blame, any fault, any place where you're going to get it in a bit of an attitude and reactive, so that there's not a good or bad in this sense, but that there's an explanation. Okay, so not demon or devils, although... Again, as a mystic, I see plenty of things with my mind's eye, and I definitely know of the plane of the denser energies. These are people who can make use of good therapists. And so when I meet the 7 to 14 charming, they're not scary to me. There are people that need a good therapist. I don't want to be near anybody who is a person who needs, you know, a lot of help, because if they're physically threatening, I like to live. I want to live life. And again, this is only being presented because that's what people want to do when they meet a person that says, I love all people, is they know you can't. Really, I can't. You don't like what I just said. And you're now telling me I can't speak words that I just spoke out of my mouth. Every time this has ever happened, I learned, though, how to share the floor, because I had already a three-year-old with me my entire life. And so I sit quietly. And then as I got older, I got smarter, because as a teenager, I noticed all these unkind teenagers acting like buffoons. And I was like, okay, I acted for a bit like a buffoon. Not really. Am I going to say I'm not proud? I'm going to say I was a child, and that I did hear from the grown-ups, and I learned in enough time, yep, you're all unreliable. So when you're a grown-up and you know that any person who has envy, jealousy, spite is unreliable, it's not because they won't be your friend. I got plenty of friends. They're all amazing. And Cusco's, Pacha don't lecture no Cusco's. Again, it's not a movie. And I know that a person who has low self-esteem is a person who's not doing emotional lifting. And they are a coward. But I know that their maladaptive child behavior is maladaptive now, but it served them as a child. So then there's part of me that will feel initially, I'm so sad for you. And obviously that will quickly be brought to neutrality and equanimity, because they will be treating me unkindly. Oh, you're an evil bitch or an evil witch. Let me come say some spiteful shit to you. I'm used to when people are teenagers, and the men, yeah, they do a pretty good job, I must say. I'm a woman, so for me, the men don't handle women that are empowered if they have a small ego. It's unfortunate, because really they can get so, I saw some things online and I was like, this is concerning. I hope that we have monitoring. They're dangerous. They're a bunch of dangerous men that need to be watched by police and whoever it is, so that they can, you know, in case they get out of whack. I'm sure there's also women that are that way. It's unfortunate. There are misandrists, is it that? Yes, the women that hate men, that's not nice either. I just haven't noticed if there are forms of those, but I do know there are of misogynists. And the most recent, I actually had a laugh with my friends, because they had me reading something, and so I'm reading it, and I'm being video recorded. I'm like, shit, okay, this is one of those that can really, you know, somebody can twist and turn it how they will, but again, it is what it is. I know that I'll remember this moment, because I turned to my friend and said, hey, make sure you don't go doing some bullshit online. I'm online, you know this, right? So my friend's like, don't worry. And in my head, I'm like, I hope not. But if whatever, you know, it is what it is. But I'm reading this forum of these men who are basically, there's a word for them. They're not attractive. And so they don't have intercourse and have no women. And it made me think of that one movie, 40 and a Virgin. But he was happy and ended up having, you know, people that helped him. This is a forum of people whom they are saying not nice things at all. And I'm taking it with a grain of salt. It's not all. And I'm like, yeah, but this is really not cool. But as I'm reading this, there's a part where it talks about, you know, going clubbing and what happens when you go clubbing. And they're talking about women, though, that they're going to end up, you know, fucking somebody in the bathroom. And they describe as well the type of person, woman, and I was like, oh, that does happen. And I was like, wait, not me though, but it does happen. I went dancing, I love clubbing, but I went clubbing with a number of different girlfriends and boyfriends, so people. And any night, yeah, there were people in the bathroom, and I just thought, this is going to be, you know, like, no, what is this? Yeah, I'm coming here to dance, not to do that. So in the brain of a person who goes out to have fun, there's not any of what, again, hangover, mean girls. It's all maladaptive child behavior, because any form of the fucking, drinking, and drugging is actually a self-soothing mechanism when you understand how it works for a person who did grow up in a household where somehow, one way, shape, or form, because it's not necessarily only with the households of abuse or neglect, we have attachment wounds that can happen in many different ways. shame that can happen. There's just so many different variables, and people think that behavior like the movies is really cool. So as I was saying, my friend, the grown person who teases me, and I will get serious sometimes with them, and I know that they like to tell me I'm smart, and I like to say, okay, you tell me you're smart, so can you assimilate good information? Because I'm telling the person, because they're my friend, I'm not going to treat it like it's not a rumor. Attachment trauma information is serious business. So my friend likes to quote unquote provoke me in different ways than the other person I was talking about. That other person, we're partners in crime, if you will, on how amazing the humanity can become and how many other, you know, issues humanity still has, but we are proactive in a way that says we know humans can do more together, because that's what we've always done. It's being grounded in reality. So my friends, the ones who are grounded in reality, we can talk about topics in a way that is productive, which is what the IHP community is about. So we don't do, oh my God, were you politically incorrect? We will most certainly try to, you know, make sure that we can get the wordings right, but nobody's going to be walking on eggshells for what are all people, by the way. The ones who have us walking on eggshells right now, they are the ones who are at that fourth step of recovery of trauma. So they have an attachment wound, a pain point, they're projecting, and they found a herd that are the bystanders that took their side. We got the Peter Pan with their lost boys, and they go out and yell, and so we walk on eggshells. And the ones who are walking on eggshells, we don't want to walk on eggshells, but we care enough to say, okay, let's figure out the best way to bring forth important conversations, and we'll do the best we can, of course, knowing, like I said, my friend, I was like, dude, remember, I'm online. If you do anything, this is going to look really bad. And then I said, it's, you know, again, something that can happen, which is why when people talk about the what are they, those people that are stars, what the hell, really, politicians, they're people. So only a child and a young adult, when I was a young adult, I thought of professionals as people that would be embodying their profession. The first two lawyers I met, they did cocaine. I was shocked. People think that's me being gullible. No, I'm not being gullible. I thought you would represent what you learned. What the fuck are you doing? You're an inconsistent human being in the book of me, because you don't embody law. You're breaking the law while we speak, and you're walking around like that's something cool. No, that's not. And when you grow up more and then you see people that want to say, well, you know, you have to compromise in order to get anywhere in life. That's what I have seen. Nope. And actually, you know, what I love even more are the educators, the sciences people. Okay, so I saw this one study. I didn't appreciate all of it, but they made some valid points with the way that they added up the data. And again, I don't know where they got it from, but this is an interview. Always big well. Or big think or well, and this person, I forget what his title is, I think he even wrote a book about it, but he was talking about how there's a way that they can tell who can end up becoming successful, and it's not because they're genius per se, that there's a big chunk of people that fall within the average, and then some, you know, they get lucky. That's the part that I don't necessarily agree with, because not everybody is about luck, but let's put that to the side and let me go back to my other kind of point, quote unquote, because I'm not really making any points. We're just chit-chatting about empowerment and emotional maturity and those who embrace spirituality and humanity and can bring the two together because of being restorative embodiment of their own self. So this is an emotionally accountable person. Does not mean you don't have triggers working through personal items in their life. But you better bet they're not going to go around shooting somebody in the foot, meaning, oh, how dare you, silencing the walking on eggshells people. They are the most annoying of all the people out there. And anytime somebody uses words like enabling, or, you know, they just immediately are working with that word mount. Yeah, that's a teenager. It's like meeting the, like what I was most likely to kids when I was a teenager. I'll say that because I was the little Miss Perfect or the little Miss Tattertale, following those strict parameters, but I was a child growing up. So that's part of the process. As a teenager, we have this black and white thinking. It's as you grow, your brain continues to develop. And so you're going to, if you're organically emotionally aware, like I am, you are organically going to move into your emotionally mature self and stay yourself. which is why I am consciousness is consistent here, which is also why the relationship with this infinite sphere has never changed and I never lost touch with the message of Jesus. It's not confusing. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. You have a heart. I have a heart. I will treat you the way I want to be treated. So if you treat me unkindly, I will not make up a bullshit justification for why I should snap at you or treat you the way you treat. No, that would make me a hypocrite. I will stand in my heart, body, and belly body. So I learned, again, how not to disregard it because I made choices. And I, again, knew about peer pressure. So we all know about that, which is why I would call any kid a kid. I don't give a shit. That teenager word should be cut out of all of it. I'm sure kids would be like, I don't want that. Yeah, well, it's too bad, so sad. I didn't like teenagers as a teenager. And when I see them now, I still find them completely unkind. And they all, in fact, are unsafe because they're emotionally mature and their brain does not work like a grown-up. So this is also where I see so many things needed to be revisited, particularly the revisitation of how people justify lifting their hands on their kid and yelling at them in a way of unnecessarily, what are you, non-common sense, or a poor kid crying out somewhere, you're spoiled, you know, any type of yelling. I would get rid of all of them. And that's where I'm not going to be winning that one. I know that. But I do know that there are parents who get taught because they care about trauma. They don't want to pass on transgenerational trauma or cultural or religious. So those parents and then people like that are going to know about the attachment trauma information that we talk about. They're not going to be the ones you walk around on eggshells, by the way, who say, enabler, oh, you have to do it this way. No, it's going to be okay. We know that there's not a black and white way of doing anything. We got a rainbow. And we know that participation is what matters. And so you build a group of people who are emotionally and mentally mature, who know enough about the good information to say, okay, authoritative is the ideal parenting style, which is explainable, by the way. It's a thing. And then repairing rupture. It is remembering that a child needs a child-centric environment and that the nervous system matters. There's a lot of different ways. Those who care, they have the good therapists they work with. But it's not about being worried, which is also a group of parents. They worry, did I fuck my kid up? You know, this and that. And worrying doesn't, right, help anyone. It's about being able to say, okay, now that I'm aware, now that I'm educated, now that I got empowered with information, my heart is worried because I feel sensitive about something that's personal. This is where the inner dialogue works you with your emotions, okay? And if you keep on doing that lovely inner growth mindset, it will work with your embodied brain, with you. And so when you meet emotion mature men and women, balls, vaginas, days, this is the most amazing of journeys, and we get to build a group together. When you meet people who are in the in-between, they're amazing too, but they're not as vocal in a way of wanting to create conversation. So my friend, the one that I brought into the mix, like I said, he knows I'm serious when I talk to him. So then sometimes he'll come back and be funny in a not bad way, but in a way that intrigues me. And I hope for them that they get out of the rigidity of their brain, because I told them, this is one of the recent conversations, you understand that it's unhealthy for you. I'm not going to tell you to keep on acting like a buffoon. When you talk like this, you're acting like a buffoon. So that's all. You can keep on doing it, but just remember, and I am not trying to provoke my friend. I'm trying to support them. And I know that they know that part, but again, there's ways that people will have their moods affect them. So sometimes if, you know, a person's doing well and they're happy, then they're going to be good. If they're unhappy, then they might be a little bit snappy. This is what it's called to be a grown-up, though, to know it's okay. Nothing's personal. We also can respect and understand if somebody comes at me and it's one of those eggshell walking around people, I will apologize. Oh, I'll say, I'm so sorry. If they call me a word, I'll be like, you know what? I might just be quiet and leave it alone. The part about not engaging is what I'm trying to get to, because I know that I have a maladaptive child in front of me who's already making it all about themselves. Now, if I want to make a stand, I will, because I decide that I want to speak up for myself. Because there are moments where you will speak up for yourself because it's completely unnecessary and very, very, what's the word that I'm looking for? some people, they get really out of line in a way that it's not one event. It's two and three and four and five. And even though a person who doesn't recognize that they have attachment wounds and trauma, right? So they're not doing it to be mean, but they do know what they're doing because they'll know the energy that they're coming in at, okay? So they'll know if they have some unsettled business, okay? So yeah, if your person, and I'm thinking of past experiences and all this, there's a certain amount of ways that I will be silent until I will speak up. And when I speak up, I will have spoken up in a way that says, this is not cool, basically. So I get it, you know, whatever, you got your shit. We're just completely different in the way that we approach life. And it's not because they're unsafe for me. Because see, here's where when I say unsafe, I'm talking emotionally. They're emotionally people who will use your words against you. Like my one friend that I have a hunch sometimes he might be in a little bit of a pissy mood or whatever. I don't know what his story is, but just saying, I'm not unused to people being in their little pissy mood. So I completely play it day by day. And then I tell people in their face what I think as well. And if they're my friend, if they're an acquaintance, they're not my friend. And I don't have acquaintances that I talk to about serious topics is what I should say. So if somebody's in my friend zone and they are consistently behaving in ways that I know is a facade and you want to come in and out and you want to, I'm not going to play with that. I don't play it at all, by the way. Sometimes I'm just being polite because I know that I have a clown in the room and I know what clowns do when they are happy. They smile and they joke and it really feels like a waste of my intellectual and emotional time. By the way, that's the part. Emotionally mature people don't want to have facades. Social time is nice. It lasts about a couple hours. But if I'm investing time with you, it's because I'm building a relationship. So if you're not a person who knows how to have depth, I'm going to pick that one up. And that's when you become a bit of a clown for me because I know you're not really into the relationship at all. But I also have enough wisdom in my own heart. And today as an attachment trauma information person that you are unaware about basically the fact that you're a nervous system that anybody can pick up. That's all. This got me as a teenager. I would tell people, you know, you are not going to hide who you are from anyone. No, none of us are. And that's because, thank you, Stephen Porges, we wear our heart on our sleeve. Also, when you're a integrated brain, you have access to your right mode completely, not just a little bit. And that's why we're empowered. Those who are emotionally mature and can self-regulate because we don't have trauma charges lingering. So when I'm in the presence of any person at this point, especially because I'm a restorative embodiment and I am my full divine masculine, divine feminine, I'm in a constant zeroed out space unless I got some shit going on and I'm still practicing the physical mastery part of me, but the point that I want to get to so you can all understand, we embodying spirituality and humanity, and that it's not a special gift. Daniel Siegel does it, Bessel van der Kolk, Stephen Porges, Peter Levine, Janina Fisher, all the somatic empaths, all of them that are great, great educators. Every single person who has love for human beings and humanity, and they are so patient. When I first learned everything about attachment, it made me very sad because me being my inner child makes other people triggered. That breaks my heart. So on my end, though, I do know that they don't think twice about throwing shit in the evil bitches or evil witches' face. That's for sure. So, you know, I can feel sad by myself while I'm thinking about those poor times of them as a child, because that's what I'm feeling. They're 0-1-year-old. I'm not thinking of them as they get to their teenage asshole attitude and they get to justify, again, their asshole attitude. I'm just thinking, thank goodness we got therapist Jesus, because they're the ones who are going to help people see in their bodies. So I know that humanity is really, really in great hands and we have Sadhguru with spirituality and yoga. But what I was trying to get to is when I'm around with people, I'm having fun. I'm used to people not having emotional mastery, because apparently hangover is really cool and fucking and drugging and drinking and acting like buffoons is really cool. I never understood it and I still won't. I'm cool with being serious, FYI, but the part about being a radar, so we all pick up on each other, the difference is that I'm curious, open, accepting, and loving. When I let you in my circle, which is usually immediately because I'm not going to really say yes to sharing time with you and be anybody who's going to suspiciously, I don't have the suspicious eyes. Why should I? You have no weapon. I don't need to study you. So I'm not going to. I'm not going to use my brain like that. I mean, that's a waste of my time, complete energy. I'm not going to do that. But it also goes against the entire way of life that I live, which is, it's not a movie. So as I was saying, people, I need boxing gloves. What are you going to do? What's going to happen? You told something and somebody's going to use it to shame you. Oh, you think you can shame me. So the part about what people use your words against you. Yes, this has happened quite enough times to where I know people can do that if they want. I'm a grown up about it. So it's very different when you have mastery over the capacity to pause as others speak and then to leave it alone. But what I was trying to get to is that we enjoy people always versus assume. And even if that quote unquote comes back to bite you, it doesn't really bite you in the ass. A Cusco isn't a biting in the ass. A squirrel isn't a biting in the ass. It's you showed me and you can show me how unreliable you are when you get emotionally upset, which is an indication of your maladaptive child behavior. It's not a devil or demon. There's no evil super villain. I'm so sorry you think you can make up some story about yourself. I know that you're a person who is upset. So the only actual threat, like I said, is when these groups of men, for example, get together, or women that have this energy about them, but they don't do that except for on forums. And we have, you know, local enforcement, and slowly but surely, with the good attachment trauma information, we're going to get on top of getting the people who want to be their inner child on board with their healing and their healing, and so that they can bring forth that humanity. In the meantime, for us, we get to build relationships, people who love each other, people who can talk in each other's face, who don't get spiteful. So this is the other part, who don't have to walk around eggshells, who actually understand that we are in the midst of change on this lovely planet, that there are, of course, fuck-ups because we were ignorant. We're still ignorant. I mean, there are people who think yoga brings demons out of the bodies of people. I mean, hey, there are people who think that me, a Reiki master, is part of an energy that is not the Holy Spirit. There are people who think they know the word of Jesus because they work with people who read to you from scripture. They have no idea what Jesus or God is. Or are, but they will have their theologians, their qualitative data to prove shit. Yeah, you know, that's the part of why it's sad for me to see the 4D mystics, because they're all people who could make use of a good therapist. They're spiritual bypassers. They don't know spirituality. If they did, they would stop making it a competition. Sciences and spirituality don't compete. Sadhguru goes and gets interviewed and interviews. Now, he does favor spirituality. He's a guru. Duh. Anybody not know that we always will have our personalities with us? I am Maria. I'm a human. I'm an inner child that's whole. That's why, be yourself. I can be me. You can be you. We're going to have fun. And I thankfully have those pachas in my life that I know are intellectually, emotionally, and physically mature. And then I have people who are a little bit of this and that, and they're beautiful just the way they are. If you ask me, who do I want to spend time with? It's going to be with the people who are themselves. Because when I get to meet people who act like they are themselves, but they're not, what I was trying to get to is, I know if your heart's open or closed. So every time you close your heart, you can be speaking to me. I have a facade in front of me and you're wasting my time. And I am not one who likes to use my time in a way that is of a waste. And what it really is we have one life to live. I appreciate my life and I appreciate people the way they are. So again, with understanding, you simply have 24 hours, by the way, for the solo polyamory community. We're not couple-centric. And as a securely attached woman, this is the part. I don't need to have a person in my life. I don't have unfinished business to need anyone. I have love to share, which means that you and I enjoy each other. Oh, and you must know about your own self-worth. which is you're a 0-1-year-old. If you need me to reassure you that you're unique, well, then I know you don't know how to tell me. I feel insecure, for one. And that's when I can say you don't have to feel insecure. I can know that I'm a person of my word. And that's the minute of when people choose not to believe in people's words and, oh, I don't trust anyone because my heart got broken. And those are the teenagers that I got to meet who grew up, and now I'm 44, and you better bet men, women, they all get, I can't trust anyone, I can't this. I've grown more loving throughout the years. I got twin flames, I got soulmates, I got all these beautiful stories. I got a whole buttload of beautiful people in my life. And anytime somebody's gotten unkind, liar, liar, pants on fire, making promises that they didn't keep, and all of that stuff, I even learned how not to talk about it, because the women who get resentful and they go around saying, yeah, they better look at me when I'm all prancing around. And I know we all use words, but I'm not going to wish upon anyone that they need to look back at me and be miserable. No, I want them to be happy. And that sounds like a really petty thing to say, that you want to feel good about the choices you make, that you may have a moment where you're recognizing, of course, a moment of they didn't appreciate, but you move beyond it by recognizing this is a feeling that comes because of my own self, which, by the way, you won't have it when you know that you're worthy without another person needing to appreciate you, which is why you don't be like, I want them to look back and forever and ever miss me. That's the meanest thing in my book. That's why people go to get healed from betrayal trauma. So people who have a charge about it, that's the trauma. They are not good inside. They hold it on a string and they don't process it. And people who know emotions, they know the difference, because we'll all use words. I can talk about moments where I was not appreciated and have shared it, which I have with people around me. The difference is that any time that I can look to the past, if you ask me what I think about my past, I'm appreciative of it, and I've learned how to emotionally mature, and I've learned to love more, not less. And each person has their own story, and I won't disrespect them because they didn't know how to make a kind decision. No, that's their decision. They have a subjective experience called life. So in the book of a person who is both spiritual and human, laws are physically safe. I don't need you to come and tell me anything or not tell me anything, meaning I don't get offended. If I do, I'll tell you, and then we can talk about it, because that's what healthy boundaries are. It's basically, I'm going to say this tone, these mannerisms, I'm not happy with them because they don't satisfy me. And if you don't know how to speak up for yourself, I'm not your mother, and I'm not your father, and I'm not you. And this is the part of why a person who doesn't know healthy self-worth, they don't know it, and they will get low self-esteem, indirect communicating, they will manipulate, they will give you the silent treatment, they will transform it, make you out to be the bad guy, all in their head, and they will not have the capacity to be a whole inner child who says, we can say, you're a shit, no, you're a shit, fuck you, and hug it out. Okay, so the people who hug it out, they're pachas with cuscos and squirrels, and that's our IHP community. It's all people who know we're all, you know, going to make mistakes. Nobody is their greatest mistake. No person in my life makes that mistake. But if you ask me an opinion, I'm going to have one, which is why my lovely friend who teases me, that's what he tries to say. You have an opinion, you put things in organized if you get asked it. And he makes valid points. And then I share, yes, but I do it this way, this way, this way, which is why divine masculine, divine feminine, when they're mature, and that means self-worth, so accountable with their emotions, accountable with their nervous system, they have an inner child, they have faith in themselves and others, and da-da-da-da, they will be able to see the value in each other, because that's where empowerment comes from, and humanity and spirituality. Again, you move and have meaning beyond the solo self. We are a human herd. We are also with nature. All is part of the same ecosystem, which is why for me, I'm a global citizen, inspiring human, infinite human, higher consciousness potential, living the experience, allowing you to know you can move into the enlightenment soul age group. But the motivation to get out of the dysregulated, dysfunctional nervous system, the unfinished business of trauma, that's all yours. Your relationships can help you get there, but you need to be a person who says, I'm not going to have people walking around eggshells. I'm not going to get into that vindictive energy. No, I'm going to get into loving energy. I'm going to get into a space where I feel from the heart, because you understand the topics we talk about, by the way. personal development. Okay, so we understand integration of the brain and restorative embodiment. It's your mammalian heritage. It's mine. Be kind. Be compassionate. We'll be back with more. Have a great day.